us receive even greater things from the Lord. I want to pray over us as families. I want to welcome everybody online. Got a phone call yesterday. Welcome some folks watching us in England. And welcome. Amen. And I want you to recognize online and here that there's something very peculiar that God is doing in your life and in mine, because he knows you better than I know you. He knows your needs better than I know your needs. And we're going to proclaim the blessing over our house. The blessing over our house. We as a church have been ministering to families. We did a funeral on Friday and Saturday. On Monday, I'll be meeting with children of Midge Heaton for lunch, celebrating her life. We have a family over here to my left, to your right. She just lost her husband. And the reality, things are happening in this world, but Jesus Christ has an answer for everything. God can raise up the dead. God can do the very essence of his covenant. But I want you to understand what you and I are doing, what I'm experiencing in the life of Valley, is a people that really love Jesus. A people that are really breaking through. I speak life to you right now in Jesus' name. I speak life to our homes, our marriages, to our families. Father, as we continue to teach on the blessed family, I just proclaim in Jesus' name a revelation, a wisdom, an understanding that is going to be so pure that we would walk out of here so excited about the next step, so excited about the next day, the future we have serving you. Blessings upon this house. I speak healing to our bodies now. For those that are home, that are ill, I speak healing to you. For those watching all over the country, all over the world, in Jesus' name, healing, overwhelming, pure revelation of your family, that you would see and experience that spiritual healing of every aspect of your marriage and your home and your family. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is churning something up. You may be seated. The Lord is churning something up in our hearts. And there will be a word that will be given to you soon. I just sense it in my spirit. And we're just going to be able to do that. And I believe this week that I will be given a word. And we'll be sharing that next week from the Holy Spirit. But let me just touch on something regarding what is happening at Valley. Is the spiritual depth that is manifesting itself in the midst of confusion of this world. You go out and you experience the confusion of this world, but because there's depth of a spiritual growth that has happened in you due to discipleship, your choices of getting in the closet and praying and believing God and spending time with the Lord, God is bringing new people to our house in every service, and we want to welcome you, first-time guest. I've been introduced to some today. Thank you for being here. But what's happening is God has given you insight to be able to attain greater things that God has promised in his covenant with you. So I want you to recognize that. And understand that even to the point of from the Bible studies to OSL. We just finished OSL last week. What a joy it was to spend with these people that just love Jesus talking about relational leadership, talking about what do you do now that you're growing in the Lord, you're discipled, and you're beginning to understand the giftings that God has given you. So what do you do now? And we gave practical insight in what to do and how to handle things in your life, whether they're tribulation or great things that manifest, that it gives you insight to do that in OSL, the discipleship, basically the Word of God. Our Bible studies, the ladies and the men, the breakfast the men have, the prayer times we have on Sunday morning, as you dial into the phone number, look it up. Get online with us, men, at 8 o'clock, and the church family, the whole church family, at 8:30. We get on the phone, and we pray together for about 10 minutes, and then I pray collectively with everybody, and then we hang up. That's because we are really diving into the presence of the Lord. Terry's message that is going to be given during the retreat, ladies, you don't want to miss it. I've experienced it for years, the depth of her writing and rewriting and talking it out and us talking about doctrine and developing the different things. And 99.9% it's Terry, but once in a while I dive in there. But it's her book. It's her heart. She's been a storyteller from the time that I've known her. And so now she's taken the guts for the last few years to put it down on paper. And it's going to be an amazing time, ladies, that you're going to experience on that retreat. Let's go ahead and dive into this because I have, in other series, I've touched on some of what I'm going to say today. But I put this together in the essence of the series called The Blessed Family. And so let's talk about what we've already stated in the last few weeks and the titles. Last month we began this series and we called it The Blessed Family because that's the plan of God. God wants to bless you. It pleases God to bless you. But we have to align ourselves to the principles of God's Word to walk in those blessings. So we began because all of us as people, we began with a title called The Broken Family. All of us came from the first family, Adam and Eve. When they fell, that sin affects us today. Jesus came, as we found out, as we talked about, and he paid the price after the fall of man. But I want to say this because you know how quirky I can get with things that I say. But I want to tell you, stop blaming your parents or your grandparents or your brother or sister or your siblings for the difficulty that you're having, because the brokenness is a spiritual thing. And the only thing that will heal and mend the brokenness that you feel is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because everybody is born on this earth broken because of sin. But everybody can be totally, totally renewed and restored and become brand new because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we understand what that means. And we apply it in our life. So that statement alone, if we recognize it and walk in that revelation, will remove a lot of the pain that you and I live with. So the next week, we talked about the blessed marriage and why we talked about the blessed marriage is that the marriage is absolutely, Scripture shows us, is the image of God. The wife, the husband, and Jesus. You got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. The image of God is the wife, the husband, and Jesus Christ, that relationship. And when we understand that, then we begin to understand the power that we have to rebuke the hatred of Satan, which comes out of people, because there are a lot of people that do the bidding of Satan. I'm not talking some Hollywood demon thing. I am talking about a spiritual thing that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. We talk about wherever you've been, if you've been through divorce or not been through divorce, if you've not been married. This applies to you, that relationship that you have with Christ can totally renew, and you can walk in the power of the image of Christ. Then last week, in A Blessed Family, we found out how to get from being broken to being blessed. The steps that need to be taken, and how, remember, we were born basically, I'm not going to go through it, we were born selfish. It's not your fault. You're born that way. But there is a way that you can break that and become a gracious, loving, giving person that is patient in life, not because you're better than anybody else or you're more spiritual than anybody else, but that you understand the power of the cross and you take that and then you begin to mature in your life to where now you are not saying, use me for fame. You are literally walking a life that says, it's not about me anymore. Everything I am, everything I do is to do your will, Father, and to be a blessing to other people. A blessed family is a family that gives to other families, that learns to develop a relationship with one another. So this is the plan of God. It is in the Bible. And I'm taking you through spiritual steps, not that, you know, well, I'm not that spiritual or I'm brand new. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now you can do it. You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, that He is Lord, and you confess with your mouth that He is Lord, and the Bible says you shall be saved, then you begin your journey of maturing and getting to the place where you start becoming a huge giver and loving people, and it's about others. Amen? That when you're going, you're in the grocery store, I'm having the privilege, what's happening with me is everywhere I go, I'm just having a privilege of leading people to Christ. In the grocery store, where in the restaurant, everywhere I'm going, it's just something is happening that's going on. Matter of fact, this weekend, there's been another death in a family, but this weekend I ministered to someone at a funeral that I did, and they came up to me and said, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you. And I went, thank you. No, I didn't do that. Right? There's something different about you. What he experienced was a love of God that was exuding out of me. That I wasn't performing. I wasn't trying to, you know, be this wonderful guy. I was doing the bidding of the Lord, feeling the heart of God regarding the death of a believer, of someone that was loved, someone of the family. And when I was giving the message, he felt that. He came to me and I said, well, you know Jesus, don't you? He says, well, I'm not sure. I said, you want to be sure? So he goes, yes, I do. Prayed for him, received the Lord, shook his hand, high-fived him when I was leaving. That night, he passed away. And see, you know, the reality, yeah, the pain that we suffer in loss. But I went, what? Because I gave him my number. I said, hey, let's talk some more. Let me get you. You got some family that's like you, and I'm going to help you lead them all to the Lord. And he died. But see, watch this. I did awe also. But then my spirit said, he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. Eternal life. Eternal life. So as we dive in to this message today, I call it Bless Sons and Daughters. Notice I don't call it Blessed Children, because I'm going to show you how the Bible puts us in life and our years in three seasons. And so we are to be sons and daughters, because when you become born again, you are a son or a daughter of God. You also physically are a son or a daughter on this earth. So in the Bible, I saw that it tells us we go through three phases as sons and daughters. And they are outlined in the Bible. I'll show it to you. I'll give you the scripture. Bottom line, God designed these seasons for every one of us. We're talking about the blessed family. We're talking about being a blessing. As we mature and become that person that everywhere we go, we are sons and daughters and we're blessing. Yes, we're parents. Yes, we're grandparents. Yes, we're grandchildren. But the reality is we're sons and daughters of God, and there's a call on our life. And in these three phases, if you want to talk about parenthood, there are three phases that we walk through. They are childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. Childhood, adolescence, and adulthood. Childhood, according to the Word of God, is from birth to 12 years of age, 12, 13 years of age. Adolescence is 13 to 19 years of age. And adulthood, according to the Word of God, is 20 years of age. So what I desire to do today is give you one word that relates to each phase, which will help you relate to your sons and daughters in each phase, parents. So look at these phases of life in these verses I'm about to read. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, this speaks of childhood, from birth to 12 years old. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. So from birth to 12 years old, children need to learn how to obey their parents. Don't look at me. Don't go to extreme, because there are so many, quote, professionals about parenthood and so many books out there, and many of those books are not based on Scripture. So what I'm taking you back is to Scripture, and in Scripture, it gives you the principles, how to raise your children and how to release your children, which a lot of people have struggled with that. I think verse 2 is referring to adolescence. It says, honor your father and mother. So I believe Scripture is telling us teenagers, that's what we call that, are to learn how to honor each other and other people. The greatest battle your teenager will have is learning how to honor, because they're around a lot of people that dishonor. But you're still the parent. And you need to help them understand, yes, okay, I'm going to be Detroit talking here. Yes, they're jerks. And they dishonor. But see, your life, if you're going to live your life, parents, children, teenagers, if you're going to live your life according to the Word of God, then you're going to learn that honor is the key to a reward that will bring you into the fullness of a blessed family. If honor is not part of your life, if it's about you, remember last week, if honor is a part of, is not a part of your life, then you're going to struggle in families, in the home. There are a lot of families that struggle. They're smart people. They're good looking. They look like they're successful, but they're struggling because of dishonor. So in verse 2, we see this, is that it's how to honor each other and other people. Honor is the biggest thing adolescent needs to learn. Watch this. Continue verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise. What promise? Well, we'll see that a little bit later. So the last verse, so we see the children, adolescents. Now let's look at adulthood, verse 3. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. This should excite you. Because if we learned obedience, the professionals will say from birth to 5 years old, you learn 85% of what you will be when you're an adult. Okay? I see that. Scripture talks about that. But it should excite you, because things will go well and live long. Parents, if you want your children to become adults and it to be well with them and to live long, then you must, when they were children, birth to 12, teach them obedience. When they're in the teenage years, teach them how to honor. And I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to give you principles of how to do that. It's not my principle. It's from Scripture. And these are the things that I lived in my life as a parent. And I try. It's harder as a grandparent. Sometimes I let them get along with what they want to do. So if you ask what is the promise of honor, many say that you live long on the earth. But you must, I want to instill this in you. I've said it a couple times. The promise actually is that things will go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Don't you want things to go well with your kids? Don't you? Yeah. So let me show you what I think the fullness of this truth is. Honor brings a reward, and it will go well with you that produces the long life. Hebrews 11 says, many die early. So I deduct many die early in Hebrews 11 because of disobedience and dishonor. So when you break that, you have a breakthrough in this area. For many of you that have grandchildren or your children, and you begin to understand this, it will rise up in you and it will begin to just produce so much joy in your life. Because when you're doing it, you're not doing it because, well, this is just the way my child is. You're doing it because this is the way God set it up. And when you're doing it God's way, what happens? God comes behind it and supports it. And he puts power into your parenthood. That should be a book someone should write. Power in your parenthood. So honor brings a reward, and it will go well with you. That produces a long life. So number one, remember the word I was going to give you? Childhood, this is the word, training. In childhood, training is the key. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training, watch this, and admonition of the Lord. Now, thinking about training, look at this. I'm going to touch on a subject that a lot of people don't like in today's society. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What are you training? Obedience and honor. Because we're all different, all gifted differently. But what are you training them in? Obedience and honor. So let's go on. I could devote an entire message to each phase or to my 3 points, but I'm going to talk about biblical training and even touch on, here it is, spanking. Because the Bible talks about spanking. I know there are books against spanking. Through the years, people have said to me, we read a book and it says spanking is bad and it's sin, so we stop spanking. And you know what I said to them? God bless you. Love you. And behind the scenes, I'll be praying for you. A lot of times, a few months later, they come back to me and they said, Pastor, we started spanking again. Because the Bible is the best book in raising children. It is. So let me read to you a scripture out of the Message Bible. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, don't be afraid to correct your young ones, childhood. A spanking won't kill them. Matter of fact, I put matter of fact, a good spanking, in fact, might save them from something worse than death. This is scripture talking. So let me just give you the last of verse 14. It says, and delivers his soul from hell. How many of you that have young children or grandchildren want their soul to be delivered from hell? Amen. Okay, I know we have young people here, and you're thinking, whoa, because you hear the total opposite. But let me just tell you, the background is, I'm not talking about being extreme. And I'm going to show you the principles of this and the how-to and what you don't do, all right, in this area. But we must understand what are the two keys, obedience and honor. The Bible says rebellion is born in the heart of a child, but it is the rod of correction. We're going to read it later. But it's a rod of correction that drives it far from them. And we have to understand this, and don't go out here, you know, our pastor's mean. I'm not mean. I rarely spanked my children. And I've never spanked my grandchildren. Now, there's a reason why, because I didn't have to. I don't know, maybe their parents. Because they did it right. Now, if I have a choice, to either listen to the experts out there that don't know God, or listen to God that says, spanking could deliver my child's soul from hell. That's really important to me. Matter of fact, I could tell you, my mom and dad really drove hell out of me. And I'm okay. Because we try to dilute it. Because it seems strong, it seems wrong. So, in clarification, when I talk about spanking, I'm not talking about abuse or anger. Did you hear that? I'm not talking about abuse or anger. Many say Scripture says, spare the rod, you spoil the child. The Bible doesn't say that. It actually says, Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly, right on time. So I'm going to give you three thoughts on discipline, because this is an area where people want to shut you down. So when you're disciplining your child, birth through 12, be clear. Communicate well. If your child is throwing stones in the pool, I used this before, you say, son, don't throw stones in the pool. He looks at you, turns around, grabs his sister, and throws his one-year-old sister in the pool. Something needs to happen there. All right? Here's the second. Be convincing. Son, daddy will spank you if you continue that. See, I always say to people, I've only spanked my children when I notice rebellion. Because Scripture says it. The rod of correction drives rebellion out. And very few times my children that I knew of rebelled. And at those times, I spanked because of the knowledge of the Word of God and the love that I had for them, that I wanted to drive their soul far away from hell. That's why I did it. I didn't do it because I was mad, and sometimes I got mad because I'm human, and I had to back away until I realized in this area that I had an ability to convince again and not do it out of an emotional struggle. So I'll say, let me tell you, daddy will spank you if you do that again, because I love you. Now, you know what? Every child will look at you and say, you don't love me if you're going to spank me. All right. They're children. They don't understand the revelation. Yes, you do love them. And then I would have conversations other times that bad things happen to people who do bad things. After the spanking to my son or daughter, I would sit down with them later on, maybe sit down with a bowl of ice cream or, you know, at dinner, and just say, the reason why I did what I did is because I truly love you. And Scripture tells me it's my job to make sure that rebellion is driven out. Now, when they grow up, teenage years or adult, they might not remember those conversations, but at that time, they do. Because son, daughter, when you get older and you do bad things, you may go to prison. A lot of young people are not afraid of prison today. I'm not yelling. I'm not arguing. but I'm being a parent to a child. And then third, be very compassionate. When there's discipline, be very compassionate. Never spank in anger. Explain to them, take them to another room. And in most cases, don't spank them publicly. But there was one time that I did spank my son, sorry, Ryan, publicly, because publicly he was dishonoring his mother. He was very young, but publicly he was dishonoring his mother. And I wasn't going to have that. Because why do you take him to another room in most cases? It's because shame is never a part of discipline with God. You're not wanting to shame your children. You're wanting to love them because God never shames. What God does is humbles. And that's what you're trying to do, is humble your child. So every time I was spanked, then I would do something fun with them a little after. So parents, listen to me. It takes time for godly discipline. Don't do it once and see if it works or not. I promise you, if you spank them once, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, a couple months later, they might just do the same thing because rebellion is born in them. And the enemy comes in and tries to bring it back, tries to make them live the life of shame and guilt and condemnation. And that's what you're doing with discipline. You are helping your child to realize the love of God and that they don't have to walk in shame. They will have right identity. Look at our young people today. They're talking about identity all the time. Why is that? Because there hasn't been discipline in the home. I'm not being on a hobby horse here, but I'm just telling you, that's where it's at. So the first phase is training, refers to the childhood, birth to 12 years old. Now, the second refers to the adolescent, is teaching. We move from training, birth to 12, to 13 to 19 years old, teaching begins. Again, Ephesians 6, 4, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Admonition means instruction or teaching. So Deuteronomy 2:9 says, teach them, refers to statutes. When you are teaching godly principles. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. So think about this. Adolescence refers to a transition from being a child to an adult, and we call that the teenage years. Beginning at age 12, 13, you begin teaching them regarding honor. Actually, in Scripture, you will see the transition in Jesus' life. I think in a famous passage, we miss seeing the transition. When Jesus was in the temple, remember, the teachers, the rabbis said, wow, they were so impressed with his answers. But I want you to notice something that Jesus did, showing the transition process from a child to an adolescent. In Luke 2:42, it says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom and the feast. Look at verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Watch what Jesus is doing. It says, both listening to them and asking them questions. Listening to them. When they get 12, 13 years old, they need to learn how to listen, but also have the ability to the parent to ask questions. My dad used to say, not what I do, but what I say. Don't raise your hands. Any other parent said that? This is the time teenagers are going to ask questions. How many times has your teenager, don't raise your hand, has said to you, you're treating me like a child? See, he's in a transition. He's in the second phase. Our response is usually, well, you're acting like a child. All right? And he may be. But understand, he's in a phase that God planned for you as a parent, a grandparent, and for you as a teenager, for you to move into that realm so that there is such a blessing in your home in the teenage years. To me, some of the most fun that I had in my home was when my kids were teenagers. It was a blast watching them. So here's the... It is our responsibility as parents, adults, to teach them, allowing questions. I'm going to go a little bit further here. So we train a child to tell a child what to think. From birth to 12, this is how you need to think. This is why Daddy does this. I used to say in our home, we do this. The Klaus house loves Jesus, and the Klaus house does things as Jesus tells us what to do. So we teach an adolescent how to think. All right, so how? You begin to ask your teenagers questions. So questions like this. And use different terms for today, but I'm going to do this for all of you adults. What criteria are you going to use when you choose your friends? What are you looking for in your friends? Talking to your 14-year-old. Well, they don't like me. Well, what are you looking for as a friend? Because you might tell your child, well, maybe that person, they might be popular, but maybe that person's not in your criteria. And you will help your children from being broken all the time because some jerks are going to reject them. Or we use the term bully. Or, oh, I'm not going to go there. Let me say this. See, when you say that to your kids, they might say to you, you never thought of that. And now they're going to start thinking about that. And they go to the school the next day and they look and this guy just being his self, and they could say, I don't want that as my friend because I walk in the ways of God. I'm not going to live my life this way and try to please him because his life, you know, he's a jerk. And they go on and find people that are of like faith and like thoughts. But a lot of times you find your youth, your children, are always looking for love in all the wrong places. Thank you, Lord. Revelation's happening. Here's a question I want to tell you. I'll always remember this, and I wrote it down so when I'm up here with all the thoughts in my head, I wouldn't forget it. He would always say to me, do you think, Gary, the choices you make now will affect you as an adult? My dad always said, you will have to deal with results of the things you do as a teenager. So think about, what do you want your future to be? I couldn't rebut that. I couldn't say, but Dad, I'm just a teenager. That made sense to me. But you ask questions. As a children, birth to 12, you're telling them how to think. this is how we are. This is Klaus's. This is, you know, this is what we do. This, you're teaching them obedience. Now admonishing, you're teaching, and you're asking questions and letting them talk with you. And if they have a crazy answer, don't go, Pastor, will you talk to my child? No, just, no. You just realize you do that. Grandparents, you have your kids, grandkids a lot. So take advantage of that. Understand what your children are doing and raising them, and then back it up. Back it up. And if they're children, the obedience, your dad and mom, we need to call them, get permission to do whatever. When they're older, you ask them questions. Very simple, very simple. Parenting is not, watch this, is not hard. Also, and my kids do this, at 13, you make a covenant with them. Tell them why you're making a covenant. Because the way God made a covenant with you. Because you know your teenagers more than anybody else in the world. So this is very important. In covenant, parents have a part, and the son or daughter have a part. Grab a hold of what I'm going to say here now. My part is to love you, take care of you, and help with college, but teach them grace. And then ask your son or daughter, what do you think will happen if you don't do your part? They'll probably say, well, then you won't do your part. Then you tell them, no, that's not true. I will do my part. But what you're teaching them, is what you're teaching them, no matter where they're at, no matter where you're at, God will always still love you. You're teaching the grace of God. Now, don't get extreme on me thinking, oh, but Pastor. Okay, don't get extreme. You have to understand the reality is there are times you discipline, times you take away, times you do that. And then we need to hurry. But the last part here is, the third is trusting, refers to adulthood. So remember the three words, training, teaching, trusting. Children are trained, teenagers are taught, and adults are trusted. Adulthood starts at 20 years old. There are many scriptures, but here are a few. Exodus 30:14. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. So at 20, in the Jewish tradition, they had to give offerings, return tithe. This was actually the temple tax. So God saw them as adults to pay the tax. Numbers 1:3, from 20 years old and above, all who were able to go to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So at 20, they began to go to war. Let me show you another thing that God holds them responsible. All right? In Numbers 14:29-30, because of time, we won't read it. It says, at 20, they died in the wilderness for the sin of unbelief. They were held responsible for their sin at 20. So when they cross into Canaan land because of the sin, anybody that was 20 years old or older died. They were responsible for the rejection of God's ways when they were walking for 40 years. So God said, your little ones will go into the promised land, but everyone 20 and above will die in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. People say, well, once they're married and move out, they're adults. Not true. See, that's why, you know, in the reality that I did this and I asked my kids to do the same thing. Before they went to college, I asked them to stay home a year and work to get older, to get closer to 20 years of age. Because at 20 years of age, they are adults. So the scripture says, let me say this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This scripture says, though, a man shall leave his father and mother. It doesn't say a boy. Some are called to celibacy. They are grown and need to be treated as adults. That's the reason I called this message, Bless Sons and Daughters, not just children. So adult sons and daughters, not adult children, because they're grown, are responsible. And sometimes grown children are ripping you off as parents because they're coming at you all the time and they're not doing the right thing and it's costing them and they're coming you and they're taking away your blessing. Oops, I know I'm meddling. But I have, as a pastor for years, have seen especially ladies, elderly ladies, that their husband had passed away, their older children, adult children, has taken every cent they have because they're going to love their children. No, they're adults. They're responsible for their own actions. Hello. Or sometimes parents get in the way when your sons and daughters are trying to be adults. So listen to me, and I'm going to say it this way. When they're adults, your parenting role, 20 years old, older, is over. The word parent is a noun or a verb and a verb. Yes, I'm a parent, but I don't parent anymore because I don't have a child anymore. I have adult sons and daughters. If you'll ask Ryan, I don't meddle in his stuff unless he comes to me. But adult children, adult sons and daughters, yes, go to your parents because they have knowledge of things. Ask them questions. See, don't go to the extreme. Okay, yeah, done. Boom, you're gone. No, no. Sometimes parents try to control. And we have to get to a place, and let me give you 2 points on this, 2 reasons. Sometimes because parents try to control, and then the second one is children still haven't learned how to honor their parents as an adult. Sons and daughters, how you honor your parents when you're an adult is you go to them and you ask them questions. So-and-so and I are going to do this. What are you thinking? We're thinking about doing this. What are you thinking? Let me tell you, adult sons and daughters, it's your decision. You're living in an apartment somewhere. You're with your spouse. It's your decision. But you would be remiss if you didn't go to your parents and ask them about things. And I would ask my parents things, and sometimes they'd say things that I didn't agree with it biblically. And so I didn't take that, but I didn't dishonor them, say, no, you know, you're just stupid. Man, you're too old now. Your parents have a lot of wisdom. And you dishonor them by not going to them and sharing things with them. You honor your parents by talking to them, calling them, all those different things, and you ask them questions, and it doesn't mean that they're going to do what you say because you're past the childhood stage. They're adults now. I promise you, when you live your life, you need to watch this again, listen to it over and over, and learn from this, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. But if you'll do this, you will see a blessing of God overwhelm your home. You will see God's plan just explode. You will see your children turn around where you've tried everything else and it didn't work. What do? You turn it around and you begin to do the principles that the Word has given us. You've been blessed by the Word?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. This will solve 99% of your struggle. And the greatest blessing you will have in your life is to see your son and daughter grown. If they're, God's will is for them to be married and serving God. That's it. Father, you know all about time. And I've run out of time. But I proclaim in Jesus' name an overwhelming anointing over this house, over every home represented. I proclaim now in Jesus' name every child, every son or daughter that has gone astray in Jesus' name, they will be like the prodigal, that they will come to themselves and they will return to the Father. Give us insight as parents and grandparents how to receive and to bless and to bring them back in and see the power of God move in such a unique way in our homes. And I thank you, Lord, for that. Blessings upon everyone in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.